online who wish to comment during the board meeting will use the raise hand tool and will be recognized. Individual comments will be limited to 3 minutes. If an interpreter is needed, comments will be translated into English and the time limit shall be 6 minutes. At the discretion, the board may limit the total time allotted to public comments depending upon the subject and chairman's discretion. The board reserves the right to mute and remove a participant from the meeting if the participant unreasonably disrupts the meeting. Thanks. So I will call the meeting to order. And Sean, if you could take attendance, please, and identify any guests besides the staff.
Sure. I'll take attendance. Katrin Wright.
Present.
Fia Oman. Ian Cannell.
Present.
JP Anderson.
Present.
John Flaherty.
Present.
Nora Crivello.
Present.
Victor Paredes Colonia.
Present.
Okay. And there were no requests for public comments, and there's no official guests either.
I'll call the meeting to order at 6:02 p.m. There are no public comments. We will move to item D in the opening items of approving the minutes from the special board meeting. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
This is Katrin. I'll make a motion to approve the board minutes from September 17th.
And a second.
This is Victor. I'll second.
Sean, please take the roll. Sean, you're on mute.
Katrin Wright, thanks.
Aye.
Ian Cannell.
Aye.
JP Anderson. JP Anderson. I'm going to come back to John Flaherty.
Aye.
Nora Crivello.
Aye.
Fia Oman, she's not here. Victor Paredes Colonia.
Aye, and Fia's here.
I'm not absent, I'm sorry. I was trying to unmute myself.
Great. Okay, and JP?
Aye, sorry.
Thank you. All right, it's unanimous approval.
Okay, moving to section E, approving the meetings from the regular board meeting of August 25th, 2020. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
Nora, I'm a skipper.
Nora makes a motion. Do I hear a second?
Eternal second.
Eternal seconds. Sean, please take the roll.
Katrin Wright.
Aye.
Fia Oman.
Abstain.
Okay. Ian Cannell.
Aye.
JP Anderson.
Aye.
John Flaherty.
Aye.
Nora Crivello.
Aye.
Victor Paredes Colonia.
Aye.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Motion carries. Moving to the committee updates. Item A, the Academic Success Committee. Katrin Wright, do you have a report for us?
Yeah, sure. I think the key updates from the committee that I think the board has heard about is that the academic committee discussed some modifications to the distance learning plan, given feedback from staff and families around the earlier grades, I think it was K-1. And then also just have been discussing what are the right metrics by which we think about the success of the academic model during distance learning. So that was the focus. We have our next committee meeting on the 28th of October. So next week, I believe. And James, if there's anything you wanna make sure the group knows about that I left out, happy to hand it over to you.
Sorry, nothing comes to mind, but thank you.
That's a complex topic. Thank you guys for taking that one on. Well, and I'm sure we're next gonna tackle what a hybrid model looks like, which will be no less complex. So I just appreciate all the staff time that goes into creating thoughtful conversations on these topics.
Yep. Thank you, Katrin, and members of the committee. Moving to section B, the finance committee. Victor, do you have a report?
Hey, John. Thanks, everyone. Nothing major to report. Everything that we've talked about seemed very straightforward from the finance side of things. Amy's going to have Rosa actually help her with a lot of the finances going forward. So that's a new member of her team, which we will be working with. Other than that, we took a look at the revised audit engagement letter, which we'll be discussing later in today's meeting.
Okay. Any questions for Victor? Okay, moving to the governance committee. I'll give that report. There was a discussion about a number of things. One, including the board meetings, how we can conduct those in terms of 2 or 3 hours. There was, and we are going to ask the board to think about that, and we'll come back to that decision. The second thing was board membership, which is affected by the coronavirus. And the third item was the discussion with respect to some of the things we'll be talking about, frankly, later on today. So, Adrian, am I missing anything? Kevin? Missing anything? Or JP? Okay, good.
Yeah, I don't think so, John. Thank you.
Any questions? Okay, thank you. So let's move to section three, the topical items. First is the distance learning and school site operations update. Kevin, could you provide us with those reports, please?
Yes, thank you. Good evening, everyone. I really appreciate everybody making the time tonight, especially our board member volunteers. So I want to keep this one relatively short because we have an action item proposed for the next item. So I'm just going to bring up the written report and then share a couple highlights from that and go from there. So this is the document that we provided. Can you see that memo on the screen? Yeah. Okay. So this is the memo that we put in the packet, and just the first paragraph really talks about the incredible team effort that was required. Even though at this point we only have about 35 students across our three sites participating, in order to get all the safety protocols in place to hire new on-site distance learning facilitators to be able to staff those rooms while we continue to run our distance learning program for all of our students. It was an incredibly big lift, and it's really given us a lot of experience in how that will support the ongoing efforts as we allow more and more students to be on site over time. One thing I wanted to call out on the memo that was not quite accurate is that it speaks to growing to our full capacity of 28 students per site. And really what that refers to is with only 2 on-site distance learning facilitators at each site, that's basically 2 classrooms, 1 in each classroom, and then there's a yard duty supporting each of them in each of those 2 classrooms. So that's where we get to the capacity of 28 students. If we have additional staff that are able and willing and can deem it personally safe to come onto campus, in our current phase, we're actually able to grow up to 76 students at Hollister Prep and 76 students at Gilroy Prep, because that's the 15% of density that we approved in this stage of implementation. So we actually have more room to grow, but the challenge is having appropriate staffing ratios while we're also doing distance learning. but we have had some interest of staff to start doing more on site, and those are some considerations as we move forward before going into what might be the full-on stage three, which would be up to 25% and could be a, like, for instance, lower grades, or going even back, going to the planned hybrid that we had where it was 50%. So I'm getting a little ahead of myself onto the next topic, but mainly wanted to point out that there is capacity to grow beyond 28 per site under our current phase. And that this has really been a great collaboration across our student services team, operations, the site leadership, our multi-tier systems of support teams to help identify students most in need for this on-site distance learning. And so far it's been very effective, and we're really grateful for everybody's efforts to make it possible. So I will end the talk time there, John, and happy to take any questions or otherwise save the time for the next topic.
Any questions for Kevin with respect to the written report and his remarks? Katrin?
Kevin, this connects to the next topic, but I'd be interested in hearing what you all are learning around the key practices that are making this safe and making staff feel comfortable, and how you're thinking about incorporating that into the hybrid learning plan.
Absolutely. Well, I'll be happy if Sharon would like to start us off on that one, because she's been leading this effort and on site almost every day so far. So thank you, Sharon.
Yes, and what I appreciate most that Kevin said is it's been a team effort indeed. All the departments have just come together with this vision of getting our kids back to school, but the learnings have been great. And I will say to the ITOM department, huge hats off. This could not be done without having the really strict protocols. So that when you ask about comfort of staff, when we did our training for the on-site facilitators, it was just like the seriousness of it was never underestimated. And the protocol is clear in every classroom, every space on campus is just, this is first and foremost. From the second you walk on any of our campuses, every message everybody gets is safety first. And I think it's we're learning how many people it takes, and then also how fantastic for students. We've had students that we haven't seen or haven't logged on, and then they're coming to school and teachers are like, oh my gosh, like in the sense thing, a little life saved for this period of time. So I would say learning how important, you know, our school sites are, and people, and the wonderful people and that they're engaging with. But it's a big effort for, it seems, a small number of kids, but I think the learnings are going to carry us through to hybrid and beyond.
One thing I would encourage you all to do is think about how you could either capture like video or pictures in ways that could be helpful for like either orientation or helping people understand what it might look like when people come back on campus. So I think it's really, things are scarier when you can't understand or see them. And in terms of building comfort and understanding of what you're asking families and staff to commit to, I imagine it would be helpful. And you guys, I know that you guys have a million things on your plate, but I would really think about, I think familiarity breeds comfort, and familiarity with what the rules look like and what it looks and feels like and what the procedures are and what it looks like when you check your kid in or when you're a staff member, what students are doing, I would imagine will go a long way in helping people understand either what they're opting into, if you're asking staff to make choices, and families what they're opting into.
Good idea. We'll definitely collect some.
Yeah, that's good. I have a question, Kevin or Sharon. Do we have any, or do you have any contacts at other schools that have also opened that you can share best practices with, have a conversation about what's working or not working for them, just to make it a little bit easier for you guys?
So Kirsten's got a thumb up if you can't see her. She's Charter School Morgan Hills brought students back. And so we've, you know, heard from her experience, from Kirsten's experience on that board.
Okay.
So I think that's, yeah, it would be ongoing.
We're also doing a little bit of work with Gem Prep, which is in Idaho where Heather went. And they have actually done, they have a full online school. They have a hybrid going right now. And they've also had a school that's fully back in session. So we're actually seeing all levels with that school.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which has been helpful.
Yeah, there's a couple of committees that Kirsten and I participate in. Kirsten's with the Santa Cruz County superintendent, convenes all the charter schools. And that's like a weekly meeting. The San Benito County superintendent brings together the all the schools and districts in San Benito County. I participate on that one. And we have two charter groups, one in Santa Clara. One that's the Santa Clara County superintendent and one that's CCSA coordinated in Santa Clara. So yeah, we're learning from a lot of experiences. And Ian's team in Charter School Growth Fund, they have a CEO forum where a lot of the CEOs across the nation post the lessons that they're learning and share a lot of resources that way as well. So we're definitely well connected to learn from others as we all try to, you know, adjust to this new world we're living in right now.
Any other questions before we move to the related section B with respect to the reopening? Okay, moving on to section B. This is a, this will take an action. This is the board will consider voting on a recommendation to reopen for stage 3 in person no earlier than January 11th of 2021 next year. Kevin, do you want to give a, well, we've read the materials on this, so I'd like to do is, in order to follow regular order, is to take a motion from a board member to approve this, and a second, and then we can open it up for discussion. So do I hear a motion to approve the consideration of, or to approve that reopening in stage 3 in person will occur no earlier than January 11, 2021?
I will move to approve that.
This is JP, I'll second.
Second, open for discussion. Does anyone want to be recognized?
Yeah, this is JP. So do we have a finger on the pulse of the staff regarding this date, teachers?
I would say that in general, our staff, and Kirsten, I'll have you jump in too, with, she probably has a survey data at her fingertips, that this is would largely be supported by staff to not try to figure out how we come back in the near term while we're also running distance learning and have two vacations that are also going to be coming up upon us. I think our last surveys showed about 25% of staff feeling pretty comfortable in coming back right now. Kirsten, is that about right?
Yeah, we are actually going to be doing another survey for staff regarding their comfort level and their areas of concern in returning to school. And when we shared with staff the item on the agenda tonight, we made sure to stress that this would be no earlier than January 11th, giving them the understanding that we would be having conversations with them. We have an all staff meeting this Friday to be able to talk about what that will look like and then do a survey leading up to that on the comfort level at that point. But Kevin is correct in that the last time we did ask them their comfort level in returning to school, it was about a 25% ready to come back and 75% wanting to stay with distance learning, with that folks in the 25% wanting to come back yesterday. So it is definitely a wide range of feelings on this subject.
Okay, so I know one of the things that was talked about in here was, you know, the fact that if, you know, if they are scheduled to come back, that they're going to now possibly take a leave of absence where we have to now look at new staff coming on board, those type of things. So obviously that's a big concern that I'm looking at from the board standpoint and the school, obviously.
Other comments or questions?
This is Katrin. I will say, I was counting, I think it's 11 weeks from now until January 11th. And looking at the calendar, it is so tricky right now with holidays. And every school that I'm working with is struggling with this, like, Thanksgiving. And then, so are people going to see 30 people on Thursday and come back to school on Monday? How does that, like, it is a tricky time to reopen. And I think we really then owe it to the students that if the science and the case numbers support opening on January 11th, that we make it 11 weeks worth of planning stellar. Because I think as you all named, and I saw the like silent agreement around how amazing it is to see certain kids on campus and how they come alive. I think people are doing yeoman's work with distance learning, and I still think it's far inferior to what could be done in person. And you know, 50% of our portfolio at Silicon Schools is going to be back in person in some way, shape, or form by the end of February. 25% of our portfolio already is going back in person. And so we should be able to learn from others and also see the data, right? Like New York City is sharing data around how low their positivity rates are. And so I just, my expectations for how buttoned up our rollout is, how thoughtful our communication is, just goes up, because I think 11 weeks is a long time in a first grader's life and a kindergartner's life. And I know we're not ready, but it just, as a board member, I feel an obligation to say, like, and then let's really make sure we nail it in terms of getting people as comfortable as possible, having a really thoughtful plan, and just having it go as, it's never going to go seamless, but as well as possible, and taking advantage of learning from the others that are 8 weeks ahead of us. That then kids, you know, will, you know, given the science still dictates that it's safe and rates are still safe, that kids then have a second half of the year where they are learning in person in ways that we think are still safe and everyone is comfortable with.
This is John. I want to associate myself with what Katrin said. I've been on the phone recently with respect to sort of a national perspective having to do with the pandemic. And I think this is a thoughtful solution in the meantime, the January 11th. I think when you look at the numbers of our areas, including Gilroy, albeit that Santa Clara is now at level orange, the Gilroy zip code is not. I think given what, not just if we were in the East Coast, this would, I think this would be, you know, in a colder area, this would be a much easier call. But I think even here in the West, from, as Katrin said, what the science is starting to tell us, and additional developments with what they're starting to learn and what they're starting to learn that they don't yet know. I think this is, these next 11 weeks, I think it's a smart idea for schools to have a offsite situation, because as Sharon indicated earlier or hinted at, you only have to be wrong once with respect to a student. So I would support this. And then what Kitrin said in terms of planning, so that January 11th, if that becomes the date, that we're ready to open professionally and efficiently and effectively. I think that's awfully important too. Having said that, I think Sharon, Kirsten, the on-site folks, Benjamin, and the rest of the team are doing a spectacular job. When I hear the reports having to do with institutions, local governments, regional commissions, particularly here in the West, excuse me, fire department, first responders, and schools generally, I just want to tell them about Navigator and what this group of the staff is doing. So thank you all for doing it. You're doing a terrific job compared to others, and then with respect to just handling this crisis. So please keep up the good work, as exhausting as it is.
All right, I'll throw my two cents in here as well. My concern the whole time and continues to be going forward, the kids, yes, they're resilient little buggers, but more so the families that they live with. So many of our families are multi-generational, and the safety of those folks, I feel, is in part some part of our responsibility as well. So I am happy to see a conservative approach to waiting till after the holidays, support those families.
Nora's comment makes me, it reminds me of something that the experts don't talk about much, but they think the numbers are significantly higher than the reported numbers. I know we've read that occasionally here and there, but they're building those numbers in. So yeah, I think in terms of families and the communities that we serve, I think being conservative is a wise decision.
John, were you referring to kids specifically about reported numbers, or just in general?
Across the board. Okay. Any more discussion? Well, then I'll call the question. What's up for consideration is a recommendation to reopen for stage 3 in person no earlier than January 11, 2021. An aye vote is in favor of not opening, and a no vote would be for further consideration. Sean, will you take the roll, please?
Just to clarify, John, this is voting on the motion to approve the recommendation?
That is correct.
Okay. Kitchen Wright?
Aye.
Fia Oman?
Aye.
Ian Cannell?
Aye.
JP Anderson?
Aye.
John Flaherty?
Aye.
Nora Covello?
Aye.
Victor Paredes Colonia?
Aye.
All right, that passed unanimously.
Okay, if we can move to section C. Kevin, this is the Main Street, the 407 Main Street project update. Kevin?
Yes, thank you, John. Just a quick note on the agenda materials before I move into that. Just noticed that I neglected to include the financials that Amy prepared and presented to the Finance Committee that had our total actuals up through the end of August. And so I apologize for that. The good news is that they look really good. We will send those out separately to all the board members after the meeting. So apologies to you, Amy, for forgetting to include that into the board members. I would joke that we were trying to keep your packet small, but it still ended up to be over 100 pages, so it wouldn't have added much. So I am going to put this into present mode if I can do it right. So you would have, you probably will recognize many of these slides, and I keep trying to remind us of all the processes that we're going through on the 407 Main Street. It's been quite, it's a complicated process to get a building approved. And so, this is still not something that's in our wheelhouse as an organization is doing new facilities. So if it appears like I'm repeating things, it is because I am. So, but this slide is a new slide because it used to say that we are hoping to get a hearing at the Planning Commission. We actually did get a hearing and we were approved, which is really exciting. It was a very close vote. It was 4-3. It was a very long meeting. I really appreciate everybody who helped through that process and who showed up. And we had Crystal Toriumi and Sharon were speakers. Kirsten helped organize people to be there. Amy's been working with me on a lot of the materials, and Fia's been behind the scenes talking to people in Watsonville. And anyways, it's just a real big team effort, and we really appreciate everybody who's helping along in that process. So we have also submitted our documents to the planning department. We are awaiting their feedback on the first round, and that's kind of a typical back and forth, two, maybe three rounds of comments and edits to the plans. Assuming that goes relatively smoothly, it looks like the best case for a timeline to be approved by the city is still mid-November. So that bullet on the slide that was presented in August didn't have to be updated, which is really great because that means that we're sticking on a timeline all of a sudden. So these are the repeat slides. So what are some things that we need to make sure of before we commit? Well, we need to make sure that our long-term budget projections are sound. We have a lot of different sets of eyes on these, particularly the lenders who are considering loaning us up to about $9 million for all the hard cost and the soft cost related. On this project. We have to make sure that the revenue projections are realistic, and those are mostly based on our enrollment projections, which is even more complicated in our COVID environment, and that our operating costs are appropriately conservative. So that's one set of things that we're gonna be doing. As far as the financing, Pacific Charter School Development's been really aggressive in getting us access to a few financing options. There's a new market tax credit deal that looks promising right now. We are past the application stage in that process and basically in the negotiation stage. Just reminding everybody that's the best financing option if we're able to do it, because 20% of the capital is forgiven after the 7-year term on that type of financing deal. We are still out and about trying to drum up more interest and support in our work in Watsonville, and hope some capital gifts might help to make this even more feasible from a financial perspective. And then just to remind you that the considerations that we'll really need to weigh in on are the risks that we'd be taking on. So at this point, you know, nothing is binding, and the board will have a future opportunity to consider whether we move forward with this project or not. And these are the things to consider in that process. So just to go through a few of the very specific things that will be coming before us to consider is the financing deals. So the interest rates, the terms, whether there's some level of guarantee or collateral, all of those related issues. We don't have a lease agreement with the owner. There's still a good faith going forward on our previous draft lease and our previous letter of intent. But as of now, we are not at that stage where we have an executed lease agreement, and that would be something that would come to the board once we are agreed upon in theory, at least with the owner, and that the lenders right now, the lenders are reviewing the latest draft of the lease to make sure that it complies with their requirements. Once we get our building permit secured, our contractors will bid the project. They're already at this point having a level of bidding, but nothing's finalized until we know exactly what the final drawings will be. So we are getting preliminary bids right now, but a final bidding will be conducted once the building permit is secured. Entering a contract with our contractors. So the type of contract that we've been in dialogue with our contractors about is what's referred to as a guaranteed maximum price, or GMP. And one, assuming, like, for example, that it's a $7.5 million construction project, and that's what the deal is. If the contractor is able to bring the project under that amount, then there's a savings that is split between the owner, Navigator, and the contractor. So, but the guarantee is that no matter what the contractor runs into, the price will not exceed what that maximum price is. So it's some level of guarantee to the owner and to the lenders that the project can be completed. Another step that we may have mentioned in the past, but not in depth, and that is that in order to help kind of shield Navigator from some of the liability, and also to help ensure that we are eligible for the maximum amount of SB 740 rent reimbursement funding, the process will be that Navigators, this board, would create an affiliated 501c3 that would then have a subordinate entity, an LLC, that would actually be the entity that would hold the lease with the owner. So the owner is familiar with this. All of the lenders are very familiar with these structures. It's a very typical structure for facilities in California. And so that'll be a step in the process. And so that's the end of the presentation there. So the big news is that we were approved by the Planning Commission, and the project is still moving forward, and there's still a lot of decision points ahead of us in order to bring this project to life. Also included in the materials in the board packet is an attachment from the contractors that show the phasing of from demolition all the way to the punch list, and all the subcontractors that would do the work in between. And at this point, the project is still on a pathway to be completed in time for an August 2021 opening. In order for that to work, we in essence need to start the construction by, say, mid-December. And there's a lot that has to go right in order for that to work. So we'd also be building in what are the contingency plans, assuming that we did move forward and the board approved all these decisions that will be ahead of us. We'll also need to figure out how we would mitigate the challenges if construction were delayed and the August timeline was not viable. So more to come later. I'm happy now, John, to take any questions.
Yeah, with the caveat, Kevin, that as you can see from the agenda, there'll be discussion about Core 7 Main with respect to negotiations in the closed session. So if you have a question about that, please refrain until we go into closed session on that. But questions with respect to the items Kevin spoke about? Right, Kevin, congratulations to you, Sharon, Kirsten, and all with respect to getting the Planning Commission to approve that. There was some politics involved in that, and the 4-3 vote was pretty close and pretty deft handling on your part. The other thing I would just draw your attention to is the article that ran in the Pajaronian, which could have been, given some of the politics of what the negative votes, could have been written in an entirely different way, which would have made it much more controversial. And I was pleased to see the editor of the Pajaronian write that piece, and it was pretty straightforward, and actually it was straightforward, it was objective, and because it was good news for Watsonville, he wrote it as such. It was nice to see Navigator get a good article from Watsonville. So thank you, guys.
John, could I just share one comment on Watsonville Prep? Yeah. I just wanted to give a shout out to Andy and Gabby and all the team, because I had a chance to do a virtual school visit to Watsonville Prep a couple of weeks ago. So I got to sit on all the classes, and you know, the level of joy and watching that kindergarten class go through phonics, even on Zoom, I was really impressed. And I think it's easy to forget that Watsonville Prep is only in its second year of operations. This is still such a young school that's doing so well. And I think Andy and Gabby, you guys have done a terrific job in leading the staff and leading the team. It just reminds me of how exciting it's going to be to see Watsonville Prep in person in its home, whatever that home may be. And I forgot to give that shout out. I encourage you all to find some ways of visiting classrooms, even via Zoom, as board members, because it just keeps you grounded in how the vision for excellence is still remaining, even though the media is changing.
Thank you, Katrin.
Terrific. Great. Good suggestion. Any other comments, questions for Kevin? Okay, hearing none, we will move to the consent agenda, section four, item A. The way I'd like to do this, there are four items. You had written materials in your PDFs attached to the agenda. So does anyone want to take any of these items off the consent agenda and have a discussion about them? Okay, hearing no motions. What I intend to do is ask for all in favor for each item. So for the audit letter and the deadline adjustment memo and document, all in favor for approving that, please say aye.
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 JP.
Opposed?
Aye.
Abstaining. Okay, motion carries unanimously. On the growth funding application for 2020 and 21, all in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstaining? Motion carries unanimously. Prop 39 memo, information resolution. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining, motion carries. And finally, and Amy, I'll ask you to help me with this. Is this the SELPA memo? Do you actually say that way? Okay, SELPA memo and documents, approving them, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Any opposed? Hearing none, abstaining. Motion carries unanimously. Okay, moving to section four, the closed session. The board will now enter into a closed session based on a vote of the board. The agenda on that will be, there will be two items. The board will meet in closed session for approximately up to 55 minutes. During that session, the board intends to discuss anticipated litigation and negotiations for real property at 407 Main Street, Watsonville, California, and relative issues relative to those negotiations. So the board will come out of closed session, and we will make an announcement as to any decisions that were taken, any actions that were taken during the closed session. So do I hear a motion to for the board to enter into closed session?
JP, I motion.
JP moves. Second. Do I hear a second? Catherine? Catherine seconds. Sean, will you take the roll, please, for a motion to enter into closed session?
Catherine Wright?
Aye.
Fia Oman?
Aye.
Ian Cannell?
Aye.
JP Anderson?
Aye.
John Flaherty?
Aye.
Nora Covello?
Aye.
Victor Paredes Colonia?
Aye. All
right, that was a unanimous vote.
Okay. Benjamin, would you work your magic there from Sesame Street or wherever you're from?
All right, here you go.
Hey, Ben.
Hi, Nora.
Ben, we couldn't get rid of you.
I'm a patient man, JP.
Oh, goodness. Can you do me a favor and set me up with that background? Not just for my laptop, I mean from my house.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah,
that would be great.
The board, having been in closed session, discussed items, no action was taken. That is the report. I'm afraid that my agenda is cut off here. I'm section six, closing items. Are there any closing items?
Just to adjourn.
Just to adjourn. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
JP motions.
JP?
And I'll second.
Catherine seconds. Sean, take a roll, please.
Catherine Wright?
Aye.
Yeah, Oman? I think I'm take that as a
thumbs up.
Aye, sorry. Fia.
Yes, thank you. Ian Cannell?
Aye.
JP Anderson?
Aye.
John Flaherty?
Aye.
Nora Covello?
Aye.
Victor Paredes Colonia?
Aye.
Okay, unanimous.
Great. Motion carries. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone, for taking the time on a Monday night.
Yep. Hit a clock on the dot. Well done, John.
Yeah. Stay safe, everybody.
Thank you.
Have a good week, everyone.
Great.